Okay, Daf Ayin Tes. So, we brought a braisa yesterday. While we were discussing the question about whether, if the husband is silent for the purpose of sort of teaching her a lesson, so that she shouldn't be lenient with the Dorim and his intentions of later on nullifying the vow. So we brought a braisa in support of trying to find out the answer to that question. And that, in that braisa, we ended up that you can't really prove anything in that braisa. So we're up to...
He never expressed that his silence was in order to later to be rebutted.
Yeah, so we only learned about when he's silent. If he's silent stum, then he's able... Then he's not able to. We know that if he's silent without any particular purpose in mind, then he cannot, and he missed the day, then it's bad luck. But Rabbi Chanina's proposition was that if he's silent, intending, and he has in mind that he's going to nullify it, then even if he didn't nullify it on the day, he can still do it the next day.
But what I'm saying is he never expressed to anyone that silence is with a particular kavod.
No, but he tells us afterward. Whatever. It's not a question of whether we believe him or not. The question is whether it works. Mm. Yeah. Okay, so we're up to 3, 6, the seventh line from the top. This is just continuing on from the last braisa that we brought. The braisa, this next bit is not necessarily continuing the topic, but because we brought the braisa, we want to understand the braisa. The braisa said... It started off by telling us there's one way that the Hakoma is stricter than the Hafara, and one way that the Hafara is stricter than the Hakoma. And we said that, so in which way is the Hakoma stricter than the Hafara? That if one is silent, it's Mekayim, it's confirming. Whereas silence does not make nullification. So now the Gemara wants to know, the Braisa, we didn't sort of finish the Braisa, didn't finish off and tell us in what way is the nullification stricter than the confirmation. So the Gemara asks, we've just been talking about where it's stricter, Hakama is stricter than Hafara, in that Hakama can be done in silence. But Bahafer Mibahake Minolon, where do we know that Hafer, that the nullification is as stringency in the nullification compared to the confirmation? As the Ram points out here, the word Minolon is not usual, the usual meaning of minolon. Minolon usually means, where do we know? That means I said something, and I have to prove it. I bring a pasuk.
Here it means, what is it?
Yeah, here it means, what is it? It's more like, what is that strictness in Hafara? Is Amar Reb Yochanan? Spent a long time trying to work out which Reb, it says Reish Yud, it's an abbreviation here.
It's not Reb Yud.
Well, normally they don't leave it ambiguous. But the Bach says that he thinks it's Rabbi Yochanan, so I'll go with that. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Nishalin al ha-hakem ve'en nishalim al ha-hafer. What's the stringency about nullifications? Is that if a person made a hakama, he can be matir the hakama. Just like a person can be matir a neder that they make, where a person makes a vow to forbid something on himself, he can go to the chacham, and the Chacham will find a loophole and he'll get off the hook. So when a person confirms his wife's vow, he can also go to the Chacham and get that confirmation cancelled by the Chacham through a loophole. And as long as it's still on the same day, he can then go on and make Hafara. So you can just like you can be Matir Neder, you can be Matir Hakamah. But once he's nullified it, he can't change his mind and say, I want to go back, I want to change my mind, I want to now be Mekayim it. Too late. Once he's nullified it, it's gone. Gone forever. Okay, so that's what Rabbi Yochanan says in this stringency. Now the Gemara, so now we're going back to finish off the discussion about when we started yesterday, if the husband was silent with the intention to eventually nullify it, but he doesn't want to do it quickly because he wants her to think about how serious it is, so he delays. It's Masi Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana asked the question, going back to Rabbi Chanina's thing, who said that he can do it even 10 days later. The Braisa says as follows. So the Pasuk says in Parshas Nedarim that if the husband will be silent, and the day that he hears about it, so then the if silence is consent, if he says nothing during the day, then the day is over, then the vow is automatically confirmed. says the Braiser, b'shoisik al manas lemeiket akosu medaber. And this posuk, so the Braiser says clearly, this posuk is talking about when he's silent, even intending that later on he wants to nullify it, and he's only being silent now to teach her not to make vows.
Is it a double loshen?
Oh, 1 minute, it's extra loshen. Yeah, so that, so therefore, that's why the posuk is telling you that even in that case, if he didn't do it on the day when he heard it, it's too late. He cannot do it after that. Hakosu medaber. Ata emer, you are telling me, or actually I'm telling you, b'sheisik l'manas leikad, I've just proposed that this posuk is telling you about the case where a person is silent, intending later on to nullify it, and he's just dragging it out. Oh yeah, no, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Ela b'sheisik l'manas leikayim. Maybe it means when he's silent because he wants to keep the vow. He wants to confirm it. Normally silence means that you don't want to argue, yeah? So therefore, maybe that's what it says. If the husband is silent because he doesn't mind the vow, then it's confirmed. So maybe that's what it's talking about, which is what you would say, simple translation. So the Braisa continues. So the Pasuk says also, it repeats it, the Pasuk is tautologous. Yeah, it says, if the husband is silent in the day that he hears about it, then Heikim Misadareha, and the Pasuk finishes off, Kihechrish Labiyam Shomei, because he was silent on the day that he heard about it. So you just told me he was silent on the day he heard about it. Why are you saying again, because he was silent on the day he heard about it? It's superfluous. Yeah, so he says, when so the Pasuk said, Kihechrish La, that he was silent, so the Pasuk, the words of the sentence that say, because he was silent, that refers to being silent because he wanted to confirm it. Yeah. So why does it have to say again if he is silent? To tell you that even b'sheisik v'nas l'meikad, even if he's silent because he eventually wants to nullify it, akosu medaber, and therefore it is, even in that case, he still has only the day to do it, and he cannot go on and do it the next day, which is exactly not what Rabbi Chanina said, and therefore the Gemara says, Tiyufta, he is ogishlog. Fred the Gemara, why do you ogishlog him? Why don't we say, Velukim, why don't we say, you got two psukim. One's talking about where he's silent, intending to confirm, and you told me the other one is where he's silent, intending to drag her on, and he wants to nullify it. Why don't we say the two options are, B'sheisik l'manas l'kayim or B'sheisik stam? There's really three possibilities. One possibility is that he wants to confirm it, one that he wants to nullify it, and one where he hasn't made up his mind yet, and he's neutral. Why don't we say, when are the two situations? So we know the Pasuk tells us twice that it's too late by the next day. Why don't we say the two things that the Pasuk is talking about? One is when he was silent intending to confirm, and the other one where he was silent and he didn't do anything, he had no intention. And the day passed while he was dithering. Yeah. So that's the two cases. But if your mamish wanted to nullify it, yeah, maybe that's not what the Pasuk's talking about. And if Imamish wants to nullify it later, and that's what he has in his mind, maybe Rabbi Chanan is correct, and he can do it 10 days later even. So the Gemara answers, Kroy Yisei Riksivi, because it's extra. You've got Hacharish, Yacharish, and Hecharish. Yeah? So you've got actually three times the word silence. So you've got all three possibilities covered. And still the Pasuk says, only on the day that he heard it can he nullify it, not the next day. That means even with when he was silent, it's because he intended to do it later on, it's too bad. He has to do it on the day he hears about it. So in the end, we remain with the Obgeschlocknist of Rabbi Chanina.
Over his money,
yeah, something like that. Okay, Masiv Rava, that's another question. So even though we said to Yufta, but now, you know, it's like, now that he's down and Rabbi Chanina is down and out because we already disproved him, let's see if we can disprove him again. So Rava comes along and says, I have another question. Aran says, why does the Gemara, what are you trying to kick him while he's down? You already obslogged him, so what are you asking more questions against him? Give him a break. So the Aran says that just in case someone will find an answer to the first question, we have to see if the second question is going to be a question. So the first question will be answered, but the second question will remain. It's almost similar to a guy who makes a shvua, and then he makes another shvua, that if he's matir or the first shvua, the second one falls into place. So that fits in good with this Masechta to do such a trick. So Masiv Rava. Rava asked the question also against Rabbi Chanina. This is our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Nodra im chashecha, when the girl makes the vow, when Shabbos afternoon, as it's about to get dark, Mefer la'ad shalei choshecha, he's only able to nullify it until it gets dark. She'im loy hefer, and then the Mishnah goes and embellishes the explanation. Because if he didn't nullify it before it got dark, v'choshcha, and it got dark and the day's over, ain't a yachal lahofer. He's not able to nullify it. And what do we learn from all that? That you can nullify a vow on Shabbos even if it's not Letzorech Shabbos. Yeah, because why? Because if you don't let you do that, you're going to miss out. You won't be able to do it. Why do we say that? Why do we say that if we don't allow him to do it on Shabbos, he will never be able to do it, and it ain't fair? Levik yeshesek amanas lameka. If he wants to nullify it, and why is he silent? Because it's Shabbos. So, but his mind is that he's going to, as soon as Shabbos is over, do it. Why is that any worse? Yeah, if you, Rabbi Chanina, are correct, that when he's silent, intending to nullify it tomorrow, and he's only got a side reason why he's being silent, so why isn't Shabbos also a good side reason? If he's silent on Shabbos, intending to nullify on Sunday, then he should be able to, according to you.
But doesn't he have a whole meslace, 24 hours?
No, that was the whole machlokes we had. Until that was the according, Sunset, according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, yeah, he has all those days. And that's why we said, the Mishnah doesn't go according to them. That was the whole discussion we started with at the beginning from the Mishnah. Yeah, so as Vayter, it must be that even if when he's silent, he intends to nullify later, and he has some side thing that's preventing him from doing it now, it's too bad. It's got to be on the day. No exceptions entered into. So that's another two yufta. So that's another proof that we don't go like Rabbi Chanina. So that's two love. Now, Masi Ravashi. Ravashi goes on, next question. A person says, the husband says, we come along to the husband, and we say, what's the story with your wife's neder? And he said, Yedeya ani sheyesh nedarim. I knew that there's such a thing as vows. Aval eni yedeya sheyesh mefirin. I didn't know that I'm allowed to nullify it just because but with no excuse. I just feel like it, I can nullify it. So in other words, the day that he heard about it, he heard it, but he didn't know he was allowed to do anything. So he did nothing. 3 days later, someone says to him, hey, why didn't you nullify it if you don't like it? He says, I didn't know I was allowed to. If I would have known I was allowed to, I would have done it. Is the din is yofer. Yeah, that's right. When he was learning
Bible's 101
Chosson classes, he didn't learn about Nedarim. Yeah? Is Yofer. He can do it. Because the day when he hears about the halacha that he's allowed to nullify it is considered Yom Shamay. Yeah? Just like the day when he heard about the vow, even if she made the vow 3 weeks ago, if he only heard about it today, he can nullify it today. So when he didn't know that he was allowed to nullify it and he only heard about it today, he can nullify it today also. That's clear. What about the next part? The next part of the Braisa goes, Yedei ani sheyesh mefirin. Actually, I knew that you can nullify vows. Avol eni yedei shezeh neder. I didn't know that this was a vow. She said some expression, let's say, that we said, like in the beginning, the Masechta started off with kinuye nedarim and yodis nedarim, all these weird expressions. He says, I didn't realize that what she was doing was making a vow. I thought she was just blubbling. Yeah? If I would have known it was a vow, I would have nullified it, but I didn't know it was a vow. Now you're telling me that that's a real vow, I'd like to nullify it. So again, it's a similar sort of thing, where he didn't know that he was able to do it.
The Gilui Das was only now.
Oh, so Rav Meir Emer Lo Yofer. Rav Meir says, that's no excuse. Yeah, you didn't know. If you weren't happy with it, and you knew that there's such a thing as nullifying vows, you should have done it on the day. Yeah, that's what Rav Meir says. Because it's too bad. Yom Shmir was when he knew about it. The Chachamim Emer Rav Yofer, Chachamim say, even in this case he can nullify it. Yeah? Even in this case, he can nullify it because since he didn't know on this particular statement that she made that he's allowed to nullify it, that's considered Yom Shomei when he finds that out. Okay, so the question over here is from the Rav Meir perspective, yeah? According to Rav Meir, lo yofer v'yamai. Why lo yofer? If it's true that one who is silent but he really wants to nullify it, he can still do it later. So this guy who says, that means he heard about it, and he wants to nullify it, but he thought that he doesn't need to. He thought it's not a real vow. Yeah, so why didn't he nullify it? Only for a side reason. But his mind is to nullify it. So according to Rabbi Chanina, he should be able to do it also later on. But Rabbi Meir says he cannot. And even the Chachamim who argue, the Ran points out, why are you asking for Rabbi Meir? Maybe you also got a Chachamim. Because even the Chachamim only argue about what's the definition of Yom Shmir. Yeah? Is that called Yom Shamay or not called Yom Shamay? But in principle, if it would be called Yom Shamay, Yeah, then if it would not be Yom Shammah, he also wouldn't be allowed to do it, even though he intended when he heard about it that he wants to nullify it later. Yeah, so that means everybody would agree, lechayra, that if he heard about it when he wants to nullify it, but he didn't nullify it, then it's bad luck. There's again to you another question against Rabbi Chanina. So 1, 2, 3.
So interesting with these three tiyuftas and another side tiyufta.
It's only a single expression.
Yeah.
Three strikes is out.
What it means is there's still some room to find.
That's right. Yeah, I think tiyufta means. Tiyufta means. So kasha means that we don't obslog him, but we have a difficulty. Tiyufta means that we don't accept his opinion. But when it says tiyufta, somebody tiyufta, that means no further correspondence to be entered into. So there's different.
But there's wriggle room here.
There's different levels of being obslogged. Yeah. Okay. Hajlach na marasa. Next Mishnah. The Eilin Adarim, now that we've talked about cancelling and nullifying vows of the husband and the father, or particularly the husband in the last perek, now we're going to get into what sort of vows actually can he nullify. L'chayre, you would have thought this perek should have come before the previous one. First tell me which kind of vows he can do, and then tell me how he does it. But first we've told me all the rules about when he can nullify it and how he nullifies it. And now let's actually find out what he can nullify. Says the Mishnah, "Ve'elin adarim shehu mefer." These are the vows that a husband may nullify. Devarim sheyesh bem inu nefesh, things that have some kind of affliction, where she makes a vow that she's going to prohibit herself from doing something where that prohibition is an affliction on herself. She's not going to eat, she's not going to sleep, whatever that is. So she's afflicting herself. He is able to say, no, I cancel that. For example, I guess sleeping and eating is probably an obvious one. So the Mishnah doesn't give the obvious example because we can work that out ourselves. The Mishnah gives examples. Im erchatz, she says, if I wash, that means I'm making a vow that I'm not allowed to wash. So not washing, as we know from Yom Kippur, that not washing is one of the five things we can't do on Yom Kippur because it's considered affliction to not be able to wash. So if she makes a vow that restricts her from washing, that is called the inui nefesh, and he can afflict it. He can afflict it. He can nullify it if he wants to. V'im lo yerchatz, and if she says, I'm not going to wash, the Gemara is going to ask, what sort of affliction is there by saying you're not going to wash? Sorry, im erchatz im lo yerchatz means if she says something is prohibited if I wash, that's inui. If she says prohibited if I don't wash, then why is that inui? The Gemara will discuss that. How does that work?
Because if she stinks like anything,
it's inui. No.
She's saying something else.
No, but if she says, I'm not going to eat any fruit if I don't wash, that means what? That she has to wash. So how's that an affliction? So we'll see how that works. Similarly, im eskashet, if I put on makeup, im lo eskashet, if I won't put on makeup. So if a woman is told she can't put on makeup, that's an inui also. That's an affliction. I can tell you some stories. Anyway. Amar Rabbi Yossi.
He can null the vow if he says I'll fast, but he can keep on fasting. This is out of it anyway. It doesn't mean she's going to stop.
Okay. Yeah, I suppose he can't force the food down her throat. But at least he can stop it from being a netter. Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says those examples that you gave ain't elu nidre yinu nefesh. Those things are not, that's not called inui nefesh. Yeah, because why do we have this whole thing of inui nefesh? The Pasuk says that a woman makes a vow, la nois nefesh. Kol nedev v'chosru as yisra la nois nefesh, isha yikimenev, isha yifirenu. So the Pasuk says it has to be a vow that has some kind of affliction in it. If she makes a vow that I'm not going to turn on the tape recorder, that's not an inui nefesh, so that's not in the picture. So Rabbi Yossi says those examples about washing and makeup is not inui nefesh, but it is. Rabbi Yossi will agree that those vows can be nullified, but because there's another concept called dvarim shebeinoi levenoi, which we're going to discuss in a minute, things that are intimate activities between a husband and wife, which doesn't have to necessarily be inui nefesh. But Rabbi Yossi says, let's first of all get the definition of inui nefesh right. Your definition that you said about washing and makeup, that is not inui nefesh. Ve'elu hein nidre inui nefesh. What is inui nefesh, says Rabbi Yossi? Amra, if she says, kainim peiris ha'elam alai. I'm not going to eat any fruit. I make a vow that all fruit in the world is osur on me. That is inu nefesh. She's afflicting herself by never eating fruit. So he's able to nullify that. If she says, Peris Medina Zualai, if she says, I'm only not going to have Australian made. I'm against buy Australian. I'm not going to have the fruit of this country upon myself. Or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe she's boycotting, you know. Maybe she's boycotting New Zealand fruit or something.
Not eating fruit is not an affliction.
Well, if you prevent... what if you're not allowed to eat chocolate biscuits? That's an affliction, right? So some people, fruit is not eating fruit's an affliction. Anything that you deny yourself the rights to eat, that's called an affliction. Whether you like bananas or not, it's not the point. But in general, the idea that you say I'm not allowed to eat something, that's an affliction. Because eating is enjoyment and not eating is affliction. So now, if she only says the fruit of this particular country, that means she didn't say I'm never going to eat bananas. She said I'm not going to eat Queensland bananas. Is then he cannot nullify that vow because it's not an affliction if she doesn't have Queensland bananas because she can eat Mildura bananas. Yeah. So therefore, that's it. If she says Paris,
since he's obligated to feed her anyway, then he's got to now lay himself a cop to bring stuff from.
No, she doesn't have to eat bananas. But he can't nullify the vow is not an affliction because if she really wants bananas, she'll buy Mildura, but she'll have Mildura bananas.
Lema must listen to lucky bananas.
Yashakayach.
I thought you'd appreciate that.
Yeah, I got it. Peiris chenven is a lie. What if she says, I'm not going to buy from a particular store? I'm boycotting Coles because they have too many carbon emissions. I don't know. Yeah, so she says, I don't want to eat the bananas from Coles. Is that any yachal hafer? Again, that's not an affliction. So she won't get from Coles. She'll get from Tesorieri or whatever his name is. Yeah? Is therefore, Ein Yachal HaHafer, he cannot nullify that. Because that's not an affliction. If she's not having bananas at all, that's an affliction. If I'm not going to have that banana, but I'm okay to have that banana, that's not an affliction. V'imloi hoisa parnasasi elami menu. If the only credit card he had was Coles credit card, so he can't buy bananas anywhere else. Because the only store that gives him credit is Coles. Yeah? Then Hareza Yofa Divra Rabbi Yossi. Then Rabbi Yossi says, yeah, that is an affliction because if she says I'm not gonna have Coles bananas and the only shop where he has credit is Coles and he hasn't got any cash so he can't buy bananas, that's effectively saying that she's not gonna have any bananas, so then he can nullify them. Okay. So first of all, let's get this whole concept of Nidra of Inui Nefesh. Says the Gemara, Nidra Inui Nefesh Hu Demefesh. So what is the Mishnah imply? The Mishnah didn't mention this concept of Nedarim Shebeino Leveino. Literally, it means things that are between him and her. Yeah, private things between him and her. The Mishnah doesn't even mention that. All the Mishnah mentions is things where she's afflicting herself. So the Gemara asks, what are you telling me? That only things that are affliction, hu demefer, that's what he can nullify. She'ein behem inui nefesh, she'ein emefer. And if there's no affliction of herself, then he's not allowed to nullify it. V'hotanya. But the Brisa says, the Torah tells in the Pasuk, right at the end of the Parsha of Nedarim, the Torah says, these are the laws of the vows, ben ish le'ishtoi, ben av levitoi. Between a husband and his wife, and between the father and the daughter. What do we learn from that, says the Braisa? Melamed, what do you mean, ben ish le'ishtoi? Vows between a man and his wife? This teaches you, shehabal mefer nedarim shebeino leveino, that a husband can nullify a vow that is some private aspect in the activities between a husband and a wife. Yeah? So, you know, she makes a vow that she's not going to make the bed. She makes those sort of private things, so that he can nullify. So how come the Mishnah doesn't mention that? The Mishnah only talks about inu nefesh. Is Omri, the Gemara answers, halein v'halein mefer. Yes, he can do both. Both inu nefesh, afflictions, and also private things between them, he can nullify that as well. Miyu, however, inu nefesh mefer lo'olam. If she says, I'm not going to eat bananas, he can nullify that. Then when he nullifies it, that's it. There's no more bananas. Her vow is gone as if it never was. And even if he divorces her and she's no longer with him, she's still allowed to eat bananas. If not, she made another vow. Yeah, that vow is off. Full stop. I will aim behem inu nefesh. If it's not an affliction type of vow, but it's a private vow between her and him, is kideisa tchayse have hafara. That means when he nullified that vow, something private that she said she's not going to do, and he nullifies it, that nullification only affects the time when she's married to him. But if he'll divorce her, so she's not married to him anymore, so those intimate things between the husband and the wife, now they're not married anymore, so that vow resurfaces and is still in effect. When is that so? If it's a private matter that doesn't have any affliction, yeah? But if it has a sort of a long-winded repeating itself, if it has inu nefesh, lechayel aleha nidra, then the vow if it's benoy lebeno and inu nefesh and he nullified it, then it doesn't, even after he divorced her, it doesn't fall on her. Yeah. So therefore, we see that, yes, there are two categories of things that he can nullify, but there's a difference. If it's inu nefesh, his nullification is a complete everlasting nullification. If it's benoy leveno, it's only for the period that she's married to him. If later on she's not married to him anymore, then the vow resurfaces and takes effect. Okay, Freda Gemara Vayter. So what are you telling me? That something which does not have affliction involved, it's only a private matter between him and her. You're telling me therefore that what? That if he divorces her, that vow resurfaces again. The Hatznan. We have a Mishnah later on. I think it's the last Mishnah in the Masechta. There's not too much later on to go, so it must be close. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, so a woman makes a vow that her husband is not allowed to have any benefit from her. Yeah. So the first Tana says he doesn't need to nullify such a vow. It's not hers. That vow doesn't even start. He doesn't even have to cancel that. That's a wife can't make a vow that her husband doesn't have any benefit from her. Yeah. So that's what the Tanakhama says. Rabbi Yochanan says no, Yofir. He should nullify it anyway. Why? Even though she's not able to stop herself from giving him benefit, Shema Yogashana, because maybe he'll divorce her. And if he divorces her, then it will come back. And she will be then also to him. Yeah. So he has to nullify it now.
She'll be also out the neder, she'll be also, yeah, because it's a gospel of saving Christus.
No, if he wants to remarry her or something. Once he divorces her, the vow comes back into play. Yeah. There's Alma. What are we seeing though? That Kim Megarishla or Mefirla. So what are you saying? That he should be Mefir? I'm sorry, I didn't say it quite good. He should nullify, even though the things that she says she's not going to do for him, she hasn't got a right to not do because she's the wife. Yeah. So Tana Kama says he doesn't need to nullify it. And Rabbi Yechimin says he should nullify it because if he divorces her, oh, I didn't say good before. If he divorces her, then she's not his wife anymore. So then he won't be able to have benefit. Yeah. So therefore, he should nullify it. And what happens if he nullifies it? That even when he divorces her, it's nullified. You just told me that. You just told me that if it's benoy leveno and he nullifies it when he divorces her, it resurfaces. And this Rabbi Yochanan is telling you that he should nullify it so that when he divorces her, it will not resurface. Alma kima garish law, that means when he divorced her, or mefer la meikara, but he had previously nullified it, have a hafara. That hafara remains in place. That's the whole reason why Rabbi Yochanan says he should do a hafara, so that when he divorces her, the nullification will still be in place. So the Gemara says, you're right. Omri, they answered, Halein v'alein have afara. Yes, if he nullifies a neder when he's married to her, even b'nei leveno, the neder is off, and it will not resurface when they get divorced. So therefore, back to the other question, what's the difference then? Why is the Mishnah only talk about inu nefesh? What's the difference in the rules of inu nefesh and the rules of b'nei leveno? Elo, says the Gemara, the difference is as follows. Nidre inu nefesh, if it's a matter of afflicting herself, is mefer bein la'atzmei bein la'acherim. It's not just when she gets divorced, but she marries somebody else. If she says, I'm not going to eat bananas, and he nullifies it, then even when he divorces her and she marries a second husband, she's still allowed to eat bananas. That neder is gone with the wind. But ein behem nidre nefesh, if it's a private matter between him and her, la'atzmei mefer. He only nullifies it as long as he's married to her. She's married to him. And even if he divorces her, the nullification still works. But lacherim, but once she marries a second guy, enemefer, then his nullification is out of the picture because
so
there's
she
an,
says,
another
I'm not
husband
make
out.
My husband's bed.
If she says, I'm not going to make my husband's bed,
and he nullifies it,
then once she marries a second husband, that vow kicks in. This is the pshat in the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says these are the vows that he can nullify, it's talking about things that he can nullify, bein la'atzme, bein la'cherim. And the nullification works both for him and for his second husband, which is the darim shesh b'min nefesh. But the ones that are b'nei leveno does not going to impact what happens in a second marriage that she might have later on. Okay, so now we have the example was of inu nefesh im erchas, if I wash. So the Gemara says, what do you mean if I wash? Hey, chikamar, what did she say exactly over here? If she said the amra kainim peiris olam alai im erchatz, the word im erchatz means if I wash. If is not a neder. What do you mean if? So if it means to say that she said I'm not going to eat any bananas if I wash, as lama lahafara. So why is that something that? Why is that an affliction? It's al tznai, yeah. So later, let her not wash. The leitzitz from peiris olam, and then she'll be able to eat bananas. She's not afflicting herself. She can eat the bananas. Yeah, just don't do the tznai. Yeah.
She has to not wash.
She has to not wash himself.
Okay, but the neder is the bananas bit. Yeah. So why is that called a neder of inu nefesh? And furthermore, Bahalem Rabbi Yosi ain't neder of inu nefesh. Rabbi Yosi argues. Rabbi Yosi says this is not called inu nefesh. How can Rabbi Yosi say it's not inu nefesh? The neder itself is not to eat bananas. Yeah, Dilma Rach, so maybe she'll wash for Yitzhu Peres Elam Allah. And she'll be Osir in bananas, which is in a nefesh. So why would her basically say it's not in a nefesh in that case? So it must be the business about washing is not that she said, if I wash, I can't eat bananas. It's about washing itself. The El, top of the page, the Amra, Keinem Hanasu Chitzalai. She made a vow that she's not going to benefit from washing. She's not going to get the enjoyment of washing itself. That's what the vow is on. La'olam, forever. If I wash today, then I'm never going to wash again in my life. Yeah, so that is something. Therefore, the husband can nullify it. What's going to happen? If she washes today, then she's going to be usur to wash from now on. And that is afflicting. If she doesn't wash, Isla Nivla, then she has disgustfulness because she doesn't wash and she stinks and she's dirty, etc. And therefore, that is also Inui Nefesh. Yeah? So, now, you'll tell me why couldn't we say something about the bananas? Yeah? You'll tell me why couldn't we say something about the bananas? That if she says, I'm not going to eat bananas if I wash, and we said, well, let her not wash and she'll be able to eat bananas, why don't we answer also that she won't wash? And that's in a nefesh. Because the difference is, the problem, that would make sense, but the problem is Rabbi Yosi. According to Rabbi Yosi, then why does Rabbi Yosi say it's not in a nefesh? Rabbi Yosi should agree, she's not eating bananas. Yeah? So the difference is, so therefore Rabbi Yosi over here, why does Rabbi Yosi say it's not in a nefesh? She could not wash. We're not worried about her feeling disgusting. Why? Because the way we've concluded is, If I wash today, I can't wash again. If I don't wash today, for the rest of my life, I can wash. So we're talking about a limited time. Don't wash today. So Rabbi Yosi says, just for the rest of today, not to wash. That's not an affliction. If a person goes just till the end of the day without washing, that's not an affliction. And Rabbi Yosi says that wouldn't be inu nefesh. If she were to say, I can't wash forever, Rabbi Yosi would also agree that that's an affliction. So another question about the nivel, the chad yoima, if it's only one day. Okay, we'll leave it over here.